It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Good evening. Always good to be with you. However, there was some very sad news this week, the passing of Dolly Parton. We will never see the likes of her again. She was a class act and a delightful personality, as talented as she was warm-hearted, as she was generous. Everybody liked her, not only because she was a wonderful person, but because she also did something rare for a celebrity in this day and age. She refused to get involved with politics. Her father was a Republican and her mother was a Democrat. She realized that the two halves to her audience had that same distinction, and she didn't want to alienate half of her fans. Now, of course, I myself do get very involved with politics, and without apology, because I am a radio talk show host and not an entertainer. True, I write and perform plays also, so yes, sometimes I am in the role of an entertainer, but on this program, it is understood that I have a platform and will be voicing my opinion on many issues. And my opinion about Dolly is I'm glad she made the choice she made to be a singer and an actress. And she didn't think it was appropriate to get involved in the political world. I admire her decision. Of course, this doesn't mean commentators haven't tried to bring her over to their side. During Trump's first term, an ABC pundit did just that, and Dolly made the man look like a fool. Still friendly, still amiable, but he did not look good trying to put words in her mouth.
We have a president of the United States who said those things on that bus.
I'm not addressing that. I do not get into that. Of course, I have my opinion about everybody and everything. But I learned a long time ago, keep your damn mouth shut if you want to stay in show business. I'm not in politics. I'm an entertainer.
And yet, you're also a role model.
Yes, I am. That's why I don't talk about people. So if you are deciding you may want to ask me something more serious, don't, because I'm not going to answer it.
Fair warning, I might still ask.
Well, you can ask, but I might still tell you where to put it. If I don't know where you got it.
You just gotta love this. She hit the guy with a 2x4. Meanwhile, today, one politician tried to claim her as one of their own anyway. Abdul El-Sayed, the Democrat candidate for Senate in Michigan, while paying homage to Dolly, said the following. Dolly Parton used her gift for music to highlight the challenges of poverty, inequality, and struggle in ways that uplifted and inspired working people. All right, now, of course, poverty and inequality, while real problems, are also buzzwords and talking points. The idea, of course, is that we're supposed to believe Dolly embraced socialism, or at least something very close to that. Well, Mr. Sayed, Dolly Parton did rise up from a life of poverty, but instead of using that as an excuse to lobby the government and steal other people's money, she leveraged her talent and business skills to come out of poverty. Had she been taxed to death the way you want to tax people, she never would have been in a position to uplift or inspire working people. By the way, socialism and communism have never lifted up anybody. As for inspiring people, yeah, they inspire people while they're campaigning, but communists are never inspirational once they come into power. They can't afford to do the things they promise by merely taxing the rich. Now, they don't plan to do the things they're promising anyway, but I'm saying even if they really wanted to, they simply cannot afford it. If they literally confiscated the entire sum of every billionaire in our country, they couldn't pay for all this. So they plan to increase taxes on the middle class. They plan to increase taxes on everybody. And many of the socialists campaigning right now are already millionaires, so why don't they just give up their own wealth? Where, oh, where are their handsome contributions? There are none. Because they want to be generous with your money, not theirs. I know they promise a lot of free stuff. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. The free stuff is coming with a price tag, and you're going to pay the price. New York City is already under the rule of a communist mayor. Right now, he's calling for a minimum wage of $30 an hour. How generous of him. Sounds great. If I were working in a restaurant, I'd want to know I'm getting $30 an hour. Only one problem. Mondami himself won't be paying for it. Minimum wage puts small businesses out of business, or they stay in business by laying off employees. So instead of getting a minimum wage, you will get no wage because you will no longer have a job. On the other hand, Trump did something genuine with workers. He stopped tax on tips. He stopped tax on overtime. That's real money that workers are receiving and getting to keep because the government has to keep its greamy, grimy gopher mitts off of it. But Democrats, socialists like to conveniently ignore what Trump did and blame him for all the affordability problems, even though Kamala tried to hijack that idea and make it her own in the 2024 election. Of course, she never had an original thought in her life except for original word salads with Russian dressing. Mondami is putting up grocery stores across the street from mom and pop stores. Gee, I thought they were only going after billionaires. Won't this put mom and pop stores out of business? Of course it will. How do I know? I'm listening to mom and pop. New York City store owners are suing Mondami. But like I said, the stuff they promise never works. The taxing for the project works. The part about sucking you dry works. But the result itself is always a nightmare. New York right now is building 5 stores with the money of taxpayers at a cost of $70 million. $70 million for 5 stores. Well, maybe they'll sell enough cereal that kids can send in the cereal box tops and raise money for another store. If you really think this stuff works, tell me where. Just look at socialism in other countries. They have it in Canada. Yeah, they have it in Canada. You know what else they have in Canada? When you're sick or have a physical condition, the minimum wait time to see a specialist is 28 weeks. 28 weeks. Canadians cross the border to see American doctors because of their great health care. And that's just a socialist country. In a pure communist country, you're not only broke, you're without any First Amendment rights. So don't bother complaining about the government and its misery, or they'll put you out of your misery. Oh, but Bob, that won't happen here. Oh, no. Are you paying attention to what the Democrats are promising to do? End our Constitution, including the First Amendment. They consider free speech to be violence, if it's conservative free speech. Meanwhile, they consider violence to be the real free speech, if it's free speech that agrees with them. See how it works? They will tell you what you can or cannot say. They will tell you what you can or cannot drive. They will tell you what to eat, whether or not you can have air conditioning. They certainly won't allow you to go to church, not a real church, unless it's a church which rubber stamps their agenda, a church that actually shares genuine biblical principles. They have no room for that. If a church speaks against trans surgery, they'll be closed down. If a parent refuses to let little Johnny have his wackadoodle severed, it will be called child abuse on the part of the parent. But just ignore all that. After all, they are offering free health care and free child care, even though the child care could rival the experiments of Joseph Mengele. Still, they offer it with a smile. And after all, isn't that what it's really all about? This is Bob Siegel making the obvious for the time being, at the moment, while we still have a constitution allowing me to make the obvious. Thank you.
believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Listening to 1170 AM 96.1 FM.
Bob, I can't believe I'm going to do this entire segment, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm going to do an all Trump segment. I know. Whoa. Shocking, right?
Wow.
Boy, oh boy. So I've been doing the Bob responding to atheists and Bible questions these past couple weeks, but how much news has come through this week is insane. So let's get through a Trump, whole load of Trump stuff first, okay? So first off, something more in the fun zone here. Lake Ontario is now officially called Lake America. I completely approve of this. Thank you so much for this.
I don't care what the lake's called. I don't care what the Gulf's called. I do enjoy how Trump just rattles people's cages and trolls them. And they're having an absolute conniption fit over this, which anybody could have predicted.
Yeah, exactly.
But the idea was, we're not really doing business with Canada anymore, so why should we call it Lake Ontario?
Agreed. So now that I have to remember it as the Holmes Lake, now I have to remember as the Hames Lake. And I was like, so what's a hame? And I looked it up. It's a collar that you put around your horse. So I'll have to show it to you later.
What lake is this that's called Haines Lake?
No, so it's remember as home. So you have Lake Superior, Lake Superior,
Lake Erie, Lake Michigan.
Now it's Lake America. And then the H is Lake Huron.
Lake Huron.
So I remember as homes as to remember everything. So this would be Hames. And I know that the people on the left would say Lake Shame instead because, you know, you could spell it that way.
I'm just glad he didn't name it Lake Trump. That would have been going too far. And did you see his arranging the order of the presidents from best to worst?
No, I did not. Was that this week?
He decided to come out with this big diagram with pictures, the very best and the very worst presidents. Now, take a wild guess, Brendan, of who he put on the top in a huge picture. About four times the size of any other picture.
Are we talking that he has an ego or something like that?
And he had Lincoln and Washington up there as two of the best. I don't recall seeing Ronald Reagan on there anywhere.
Let me take a look.
Which surprised me. And I didn't see Wilson as close to the bottom as he should have been because Wilson was a downright socialist. He did put Carter and Obama and Biden on the bottom. That one I agreed with.
Okay. And did he do this week? Oh, here it is.
This week, just a few days ago.
Yeah, just a couple days ago. All right, so let me take a look.
So when you look at that, I'm surprised he didn't change Ontario to Trump.
He put Woodrow Wilson as great level right next. He put him at number 5.
Woodrow Wilson's one of the worst presidents we ever had, so I don't understand that one at all.
He put him as the 5th best president in America's history.
Yeah, I don't get that.
He said the worst president in history, according to him, was Jimmy Carter. That's interesting.
Well,
I would have had two other presidents.
Jimmy Carter was the worst, and then when Obama came along, he was the worst, and then when Biden came along, he was so bad, he actually made those two look good.
He put Obama as the fourth worst, if you're wondering, and then Biden as the fifth worst. And
Biden
very,
was a nightmare. You know, Biden was never even really president anyway.
No, it's true. It's true. I would have, honestly, looking at this list, and I've done my rankings, if you want to look back on the Bob Siegel show later on in his past shows, I've done my rankings. I still feel Johnson should have been in the failure section. He should not be in the average section for sure.
No, and he kind of took Franklin Roosevelt's Great Society and really put it on steroids.
And not to mention, he was already dividing the country as it is even more in the Civil War.
I don't remember where he put John Kennedy. I do think John Kennedy was a good one. Franklin, a lot of conservatives are complaining about Franklin because Franklin was so socialistic. However, Franklin was a good wartime president.
Agreed.
And commander-in-chief. So he gets a break there.
I do not understand why
Reagan is not. I didn't see Reagan on there anywhere.
Oh, let me see here.
He must be on there somewhere. According to what I saw on TV, we just saw the greatest and then they jumped to the worst.
I'm surprised. I don't see Reagan on this list at all.
I don't get that. I do not get that.
Probably has a reason behind it.
I didn't see Nixon or Eisenhauer. Nixon gets a lot of bad press. He actually.
Surprised he even put Zachary Taylor on this list. He was only president for 30 days and then he passed away.
Half of them, nobody even knows who the heck they are.
Exactly. But nevertheless, very interesting to see that. I would like to ask him about where he would put Ronald Reagan.
Now, I heard that he then came out and did say something negative about Wilson, but I think it was after the fact. I just don't understand his ranking of Wilson. Mm-hmm. I do not understand leaving out Ronald Reagan. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. Again, there must be some specific reason about a closer look reveals some strange choices. Ronald Reagan so often talked in glowing terms of Trump is omitted, as Dwight D. Eisenhower and John F. Kennedy are also not listed on here either. So interesting. He did not list those three presidents.
Yeah, so he's not saying they were bad or good. He's just not even mentioning them.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. Well, anyways, moving on to some other news stories. Trump is no longer allowed to speak at Ground Zero at this year's 25th anniversary.
Now, how does anyone even have the authority to do that?
According to this, they said it's specifically the organizers and the sponsors.
The president of the United States, who's in charge of the federal government, can go to any site and give a speech anytime he wants.
I would agree.
Maybe they don't want him there, but they do not have any legal recourse to keep him from
being there. But I will give Trump credit here. He's like, I don't want to fight this. I'll just go to the Pentagon instead, which is another site of where 9/11
attacks
happened.
I'm surprised Mondami doesn't give a speech and dedicate Ground Zero to the Muslims. You know, when Muslims do an attack like that and conquer an area, they consider that a victory. Years ago, they were going to put up a Muslim memorial there, and that got canceled. But
they
were thinking about it, and that would have emboldened Muslims all over the world.
And for those who are asking, because I know you asked off the air if J.D. Vance was going to make it, no, those organizers
was going to Ground Zero and Trump was going to the Pentagon. I had heard that, but now I guess they don't even want Vance.
They don't want Vance there either. So Vance has agreed to go with Trump to the Pentagon as well. That's the latest news right now. Now,
to propose creating a new Ground Zero where the United Nations once was. That's what I'd like to see.
That thing has lost so much power. It's a complete joke now.
I said it before. I'll say it again. It should be torn down and turned into a public toilet.
Absolutely.
Most of New York City's a public toilet anyway. Yeah. Why not make an official one at the United Nations?
Some very scary situation here. Iran National Television has been airing a 3-minute ad titled Where to Kill Barron Trump. In this ad, it talks about where you can find Barron Trump in those most usual locations and then what are some specific ways they wanted him to be killed.
You're not going to hear anybody on the left condemn that.
No.
You might hear somebody go, well, this is sad and we care about Barron, of course, but you know, Trump really was asking for it. You know, the other thing he's coming under criticism for, the people that worked for Obama and made that asinine deal with Iran under Obama, they're complaining that Trump is jeopardizing lives by going back on Obama's deal. Obama's deal allowed them after a certain amount of years to continue their nuclear program, and they were cheating and they weren't honoring what they agreed to anyway. But we're supposed to believe that that was this great deal that kept the world safe, and now Trump's mucking it up.
I do want to point out, every time you say deal, Trump's getting a little bit more excited right now, Bob, so very careful.
It's going to happen, even with this financial thing. Please stop the financial holdouts. We will make a deal. And Trump will just go crazy over it.
So a couple of other things within this ad I do want to mention. It talks about actually his bodyguards and who they specifically are, where they live, all these personal information within this ad.
Who put that out? Iran did.
So because they also put in a $10 million bounty for him for any Iranian
for Barron
who kills
or for
him.
Any of the bodyguards.
No, 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 for specifically for Barron, it was a $10 million bounty. In response, President Trump has increased security for his son and changed out his bodyguards due to their personal information
now,
being publicized.
How could he in good conscience ever make a deal with them after that?
Exactly, right?
Although they've had him on their assassination list for years anyway, and he was still making deals with them. So
exactly. Even after,
I'm not assuming he won't do it.
This was even after the time where he was hiding inside a cart, right? And other reporters were very upset because they're like, oh, you left us there.
Oh, yeah, that was an Iranian threat.
That was, okay. Other news, too. China has hacked into our Justice Department, NASA, Federal Reserve, and Senate websites as well.
Well, they've hacked us before, but this sounds more ominous than some of the previous
ones. It does, yeah. Justice Department says it seized domains for QScan and QT Router, which are hacking platforms. Is it pronounced affidavit? Is that correct?
Affidavit,
yeah.
Yes.
An affidavit identifies Energy, HHS, NIH, and four U.S. and Southern Korean companies as victims. The hackers targeted sensitive U.S. and global networks all the way back from 2018. A spokesperson for the Chinese in Washington said in an email that while they were not familiar with any specifics mentioned in the DOJ statement, the Chinese government is firmly opposed to any combats and any forms of cyber attacks in accordance with their laws, which is complete malarkey. I don't trust China in the slightest, and I completely have to agree with our government in terms of where this is coming from. I mean, they did the research, henceforth why this affidavit even came publicized in the first place. So
it's kind of becoming. I trust China. I also love The View. It's my favorite program. I'm also an astronaut.
The Justice Department said the platforms were run by a China-based firm, Nanjing Qin Jiwei Network Technology Company, whose clients said it included China's civilian intelligence agency, the Ministry of State Security, and its military, the People's Liberation Army. The company themselves have not responded to any requests for comments. The affidavit said the hackers used tools that developed to compromise critical infrastructure and other sensitive networks in the U.S. and worldwide since at least 2018. The hackers also scanned for vulnerabilities and made unsuccessful attempts across networks in the U.S. Senate and a U.S. hospital in March of 2026. Chinese-linked hacking campaigns have compromised a string of sensitive U.S. government and private networks in recent years. In March, the FBI notified Congress that hackers had penetrated certain agency networks related to people under FBI investigation, specifically those that are attributing to the compromise of China, specifically. How interesting. Oh, and China's not involved in that with that whole situation? Chinese-linked hackers have also been tied to compromise of certain U.S. House Representatives committee networks, as well as multiple major telecommunications companies in recent years. Experts who follow Chinese cybersecurity activity say private contractors routinely carry out high-profile intrusions on behalf of various Chinese government agencies. So even there's people within the companies that said, no, China's government is behind this whole situation in the first place.
Surprised we had Swalwell and Fang Fang, and the Bidens run the Chinese leash for years. They did whatever China wanted.
Exactly. The last thing I did want to note is that Trump has announced the approval for cyber attacks into China's governmental sites.
Well, good.
But the point of a cyber attack is to be very secretive and not publicize it in the first place.
Well, so he can say, just for the sake of posturing, okay, you did that to us, we're going to do it to you. And then he could just quit talking about it, and then we could do it discreetly. So it could still be done.
I don't know. To me, if you're going to do it back, then you're going
to
do it back secretly.
What's he supposed to do? Say, China attacked us, but we're not going to do anything?
No. You could say,
we're going to make a deal?
Say,
I know! Yes. Maybe we could make a deal with Ching!
What I suggest that Trump should have done is that we're going to respond swiftly towards them and very strategically, and that's it.
He could just put a tariff on all fortune cookies. But leave the sweet and sour shrimp alone, Mr. President. But I love sweet and sour shrimp.
Thank you. But you have a great idea, just specifically get rid of the fortune cookies. Again, increase those tariffs. China's economy was hurting badly when it came to those tariffs. Increase them even more. That's all we need to do.
Each fortune inside say something positive about Trump.
Well, then that's
change
that
the name to a Trump cookie or an American cookie.
Again, to me, I like what Trump is trying to do so far, and it's a shame to see what everyone has been doing to his family, in this case with the Iran situation.
Big mouths of the Democrats embolden this kind of stuff.
Exactly, and they're going to continue it. They're going to continue calling him a Nazi. They're going to continue calling him a Hitler, and this is where it's going to lead to. And even other countries are getting brainwashed into this whole situation for that.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I have some big news coming out of the WNBA this time. I know they've been in recent news, and they have a huge update that I need to discuss with Bob here for sure. So
update which solves nothing, I'm assuming.
Exactly. We'll talk about that when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, last Sunday, there was a WNBA game, and it was the Indiana Fever taking on the Chicago Sky. And specifically, I wanted to talk about Natasha Cloud is her name. She's a guard for the Chicago Sky. She was playing one-on-one against Caitlin Clark. And in this game, what happened was Caitlin Clark made a few moves and scored a 3 on the responding drive. Cloud was dribbling up the court, and she shoved Caitlin Clark out of the way to try to score a layup, and it bounced through, and a timeout was called by Indiana Fever. Now, during that process, she kept screaming at a certain fan, saying F U N word over and over to a certain fan out there. Who is that certain fan, you may ask? Well, it turned out that Enes Kanter Freedom decided to show up to the game that night at the Chicago
Sky. Apparently,
Stadium.
He was wearing a t-shirt that had the definition of woman.
That's right. He wore a black t-shirt that read woman, noun, adult, human, female. That's what it said
on
the shirt.
Wow. I know. Controversy.
Exactly.
Some nerve.
So, WNBA has announced a few different things. Number one, Enes Kanter Freedom has a lifetime ban to any Chicago Sky home game, and he is not allowed to go to any event at Wintrust Arena in Chicago from this point on. He has a lifetime ban.
He didn't do anything wrong. The one that came unglued was the player.
Exactly. He simply stood up and did this.
And he was cheering for Sophie Cunningham, I believe.
Exactly. Some reports I'll read here a little bit later on as we go on, but basically, he was standing with his arms outstretched and stood in front of his seat. That was it. But security cut him off and directed him to leave the stadium immediately. He wasn't walking to the court. He wasn't doing anything. He just stood up, said, what? What is it? What? What? and that's it. But anyways, one source said that Cancer Freedom was making comments towards Cloud throughout the game, though a fan wearing a Caitlin Clark Fever shirt sitting next to Cancer said that, nope, he was only cheering the Fever the entire game, and that was it. He was doing basic.
And there are all kinds of trans shirts that aren't viewed as any kind of disruption.
Exactly, yeah. And he was jeering, which is like booing the Chicago Sky whenever they were doing it, but that's normal
fans
stuff.
Do that!
Exactly, exactly.
And by the way, I believe there's rules that players are not supposed to go and confront fans like that.
Exactly, yeah. So I hope that she gets some punishment, but no, nothing yet has happened from the WNBA
side. You know,
Brandon,
you know how little I follow sports. And if I was going to follow sports, women's basketball would be on the bottom of my list. But I got to tell you, I've never talked so much about sports on the air in my life.
I know.
This stuff is riveting. It shouldn't be. It's interesting for really stupid reasons, so, but it is.
Yeah, Cantor wrote on social media Sunday night saying, quote, "I just got kicked out of a WNBA game for supporting women. Let that sink in, America." I mean, he said it in a literal post right there. That was 100%.
Now, haven't they
correct.
Also made a rule? He says he's, I know he's saying it playfully, but he says he's going to try out to be on the team. Haven't they said he's not qualified?
Yep. Multiple sources have told ESPN that the former NBA player will not be eligible to play in the women's league. And then sources around the league also said that fellow former NBA player Royce White, that's his name, Royce White, is also not eligible to play in the WNBA. So they have made official statements.
Well, they have this narrative that any man who identifies, I guess I can understand what their rationale would be. These guys aren't serious. They don't really believe that they're women. But if they were two men who really did believe that they were women, they would allow them to audition. Mm-hmm.
And not to mention, again, Freedom and White have both said, okay, then we're going to sue you guys. If that's the case, then when the time comes closer, then
they're
looking
to sue.
Well,
here's the thing, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago. If some guy wants to say he identifies with being a woman, we need to ask them the question, exactly what is it in you that you think is a female rather than a male quality? Because the moment they start defining that, they're admitting they're a differences. And how do you start saying we'll accept the emotional differences but not the biological differences?
And again, Freedom and White are specifically doing this as a way of protesting. I truly don't think that they're doing this whole trans.
Right,
this
so they could say these guys don't really identify as women, but the problem is, and they're bringing this to light, other men do claim that they identify as women, so they should be given that test. What inside of you is feminine? Exactly. What is it?
Yep.
Because if you can't point to something objective, then we're talking a bunch of nonsense.
Again, if the league wants to really make a statement, then you're going to sign a transgender athlete, which they have yet to do, obviously. So therefore, you guys are still not making a point in the whole thing. So you got to draw the line in the sand at some point.
A few months ago, this was all about Caitlin Clark and what a great player she is. Mm-hmm. We hardly ever talk about that anymore because of this gibberish.
Exactly. Now, Natasha Cloud has now officially come out publicly about the situation. She's dismissing Enes Kanter, Freedom, and the confrontation entirely, saying, quote, "I won't be talking about anything that happened with an irrelevant person. What I will focus on is what actually affects women and children currently in 2026. She went on to name domestic violence, sexual assault, and food insecurity as three things women are most affected by in today's society.
Well, that's very important. You know what else they're affected by? Some man with his genitals changing in their locker room.
Yep,
with them.
Exactly.
They're affected by that.
Yeah. I will not talk about an irrelevant threat to our lives because that's exactly what it is. I want to talk about real issues that face women, and it's not our transhuman beings, and it's not our drag queens. It's
there
not our
are women that have been raped in school restrooms by trans men.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's not an imaginary threat.
Kids have been taken to trans bars, specifically drag queen bars.
Trans men have been sent to prison. Mm-hmm. Women's prisons and raped women there.
Yes, exactly.
And you know what they're going to do? Nothing because they're scared to death.
Exactly.
It's the emperor's new clothes.
Exactly. To continue on her quote here, it's not our gay community. There is a certain demographic of people that you can generally search. It's a simple Google search of what is the greatest threat to women and children currently in 2026 in the United States of America. Cloud applauded the move by the front office of WNBA to, quote, protect the players. That's what protection looks like on the whole. I want everyone to hear that. That's what protection looks like from the right, she said. End quote. She also continued on saying, we won't allow our league to be used as a pawn for any political or cultural wars that the right wants. We're absolutely not going to. This league has always stood on principle in our humanitarian efforts, she said. Cloud has said that she wished that they would talk about the amazing season that WNBA has brought to the court, including strong ratings, which this last game drew 3.3 million viewers, which is the most since the
very
first. And they're
getting them because of Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham.
Yes.
And about not injuring women. And nobody's going to come out and admit this, but it's pretty obvious These are two white heterosexual women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they've been getting. But now I do want to be fair, though. Many people in the gay community have spoken out against the trans thing and trans people. So I do want to be fair. There are many people in the gay community that do not go along with this.
Right. And even take the white out of it. Even black people themselves, who are the biggest audience for WNBA and basketball for in general sense. Charles Barkley, for example, he said, quote, like, I like the gay community. Don't get me wrong on everything. But transgender athletes are not allowed to be with women in this case. They have way too many attributes where they'll be able to trump all these other women out there. So therefore, it shouldn't be allowed in this kind of sport. And the other thing too, to lastly state too, is I would also say that what helped the viewership too was the fact that Enos Cantor Freedom kept quoting on his social media, I am going to the game. I am going to the game. He's got a large following and people are going to want to see this, obviously. So therefore, that viewership would have definitely grown for that reason too. Cloud wants to continue on with just a couple of things left here, I have to say. I just had a fan who identifies as trans cry to me in here, and this is why I do what I do. None of this is performative. I don't want to put myself in front of fires all the time. I don't want to be the one that always has to speak up, but somebody effing has to do it, she said, end quote. So again, very, very controversial stuff coming from the WNBA. They have officially announced again that those
Trump
guys
should rename the team and have the A stand for America.
That would be great.
And then change the B to a T and have that become Trump.
Oh, man. And then all the people
on the
W-N-T-A. Then all the people on the left would be so furious
about
that.
Well, it gives something new to talk about.
It does. So in the meantime, I do suspect those two guys to actually follow through on their suit. Now, do I think that they're actually going to be successful in this whole situation? No.
They're never going to play for them. They don't really want to play for them. They want to start a conversation.
Yes.
And that they have succeeded
in
doing.
But I will say they will follow through on a suit. I really believe they will.
Sound like they will.
And not to mention, I really do hope at some point, and this is going to be both on Adam Silver, who's the NBA commissioner, and whoever the commissioner for the WNBA is. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. Now it's time to draw the line in the sand, like I said earlier. Now it's time to say, what do you constitute as a woman? Let's hear it out now. Let's put it out there right now. That way,
define it, or if you want to say you identify as a woman, define what it is you see in yourself.
Thank you. Exactly.
And if you can't do that, then we need to move on.
Bob, get ready for more WNBA stories later on. I will promise
you. Yeah, I just imagine there will be.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have a very nice tribute to some celebrities that did pass away this week. So we'll talk about that when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
Well, we started out this show with a tribute to Dolly Parton. We're going to end that way, too. But some other people passed away. I feel sorry for any celebrity that passed away the same week as her, because they're probably going to get a little bit eclipsed. But let's pay homage to everyone.
That's right. All right. So let's start off with the first one that I heard right before Dolly Parton passed away. And it was J.P. Morgan. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She was a singer famous from 1953 to 55. But more specifically, she was more famous as a panelist on The Gong Show.
I remember her as the panelist. Yes.
I actually liked The Gong Show. Was it a little bit goofy and over the top? Sure.
I watched one episode where every performer came out and started singing Feelings, another version of Barry Manilow's Feelings. And everyone got, it was torture watching that.
but that's the whole point of the show at the same time,
to be fair.
So some of the songs that she sang, I love some of these titles here. First off, 1953, she had a hit song called Just a Gigolo. That's kind of weird.
Don't recall that one.
In 1954, she had hit songs like Life is Just a Bowl of Cherries.
That title sounds familiar.
Her most famous song, which went to number 3 on the charts at the time, was That's All I Want From You. This is her most famous one for sure. In 1955, she had these song titles: Danger, Heartbreak Ahead. Okay. Two Lost Souls, normal. The Longest Walk, normal. If You Don't Want My Love, seems normal. Then the other two hit songs, Chi Chi Hoo Chi is one song that was a hit. And lastly, Pepper Hot Baby as well. These titles, I swear, where do you guys come with these?
Well, they
in the
didn't
50s?
Have Trump around back then to rename all these titles.
So she was 94 when she did pass away. So she did live a very, very long life. Another famous actor this time, voice actor Peter Cullen. He's a voice actor specifically for Optimus Prime and Transformers. If you remember Knight Rider, do you remember that show back in the 80s?
Oh, was he the voice of Kit the car?
That's correct,
oh,
yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah,
he passed away.
That.
From my generation here for kids, it would be Monterey Jack, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. His whole gimmick was that he loved cheese. Henceforth, his name was Monterey Jack. That was very clever. Little did I know this, he was the voice of the Predator in the movie 1987 movie Predator. So he did all the clicking and clacking noises.
Wow.
So, and he was also Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh.
No kidding.
Yeah,
well,
he was
doesn't
Eeyore.
Know that one.
That's right. He was Eeyore from 1988 to 2017. In 2017, he was later replaced with Brad Garrett, who, if you don't know, he's from Everybody Loves Raymond. He was Raymond's older brother or younger brother? I couldn't remember. I know he's
the
older.
I believe he was the older brother.
He just talked like this all the time.
So he was kind of an Eeyore character.
He fit the role perfectly. What could I say? Peter Cullen was 85 years old. One of the big names here, too, that passed away the same day as Dolly Parton was actually actor Tim Curry as well. He passed away at the age of 80.
I don't recall what he's been in.
Oh, you don't?
No,
oh,
I don't.
So many great movies. Okay, so let me see if I can find a whole list. Now, his most famous role, and again, it's very controversial if you like the movie or not. I find the music to be very, very catchy at least, but that's about it. I don't really like the movie per se. It was the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I could never go see that when I heard it was about transvestites.
No,
from
I understand.
Outer space, so
but the music.
Never seen it.
The music
the
itself
music's
is very
probably
catchy.
Okay.
Yeah. I would suggest Meatloaf. He does a song on there that's really, really good. I would suggest that one. He was also in It. He was Pennywise the Clown. Mm. First off, the Stephen King novel's way too wordy. I don't suggest reading the book. It's way too wordy.
Oh, it's based on a Stephen King novel?
Correct, yeah.
I know there was a Broadway musical just called The Rocky Horror Show.
Yes.
Was when they made a movie out of it that it became The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Picture Show, yeah, exactly. He was in Home Alone 2. He was the guy who was in charge of the hotel. So
okay.
Yeah,
I saw that miserable sequel. Its only claim to fame now is that Trump has a cameo.
It's true. I think he got nominated for Worst Actor that year with that movie, too, by the Raspberry Awards.
Trump
guys. Yeah, but they'll always nominate him, I feel
well,
like.
Well, Macaulay Culkin, as an adult, has come out and said he wants them to airbrush Trump out of it.
Oh, geez.
Sure took a lot of courage in Hollywood these days for Culkin to say that.
Exactly. I did not see this one, but I know he's in this. Clue, the movie. Which
I did
is based
see
on the
that.
Is it good?
It's okay. I love the game, but what they did is, depending on which show you went to, they had three different endings for it.
Oh.
So that different person was guilty each. Kind
That's
of a weird way to make a movie.
Because it reminds me of this scary movie where that was what they're advertising too, is that whenever you go to the movies, we have five different endings. And I'm like, so if that's the case, you didn't have an ending to begin with.
Which means it was never a legitimate story in the
exactly,
first place.
Exactly.
It's a creative idea, but.
Yeah. He was the villain in Fern Gully, which is this like.
I remember that movie when it came out. I never saw it.
It was terrible. I hated it. But he was a really cool character. He was
that was an animated movie.
Yeah.
He
was a smog character. So it was about environmentalism and stuff.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm sorry. I missed that one.
Annie he was in, apparently. I don't remember
Which
him
version?
In that.
There have been three versions
the 1982
of Annie now.
Specifically.
Okay, that would be,
I have to look up.
I believe the original.
He was Daniel Francis Rooster. in that movie. So I have to look back in that one again. He was also in Muppet Treasure Island. He was the main villain again. He was like a head pirate.
I didn't
in that
see
movie.
Treasure Island, but all in all, I love the Muppets and I love the Muppet movies.
And then he was in Scary Movie 2, but I don't suggest his role is very funny. But I will say Scary Movie 2 has the funniest jokes. Like my favorite one is that there's a guy who has a broken hand and another guy who's in a wheelchair. And he goes, "You're wearing skates in your wheelchair. You better watch out or else you'll break a leg." And he goes, "Oh, that's funny. How about if I give you a hand?" And he starts clapping. He goes, "How about you give me a standing ovation with it?" I was like, "That's genius. Whoever wrote that."
I saw Scary Movie 1. I thought it started out hilarious, but it got very gross and disgusting.
Yeah, they were starting to rush
jokes. I would
jokes.
Never watch it again.
And I don't suggest that the movies get better as they go on, because they were on the sixth one, by the way, Bob.
If even the original one was bad, I'm sure not going to go for the sequels.
All right. Well, anyways, of course, the big one, obviously, is Dolly Parton did pass away. She was also 80. You did a good tribute of her in your monologue earlier tonight. Again, just great music.
She was
music.
Such a class act.
Yeah.
Everyone that knew her just absolutely loved her.
I read a quote somewhere and I can't remember who said it, but someone said this was like the last specific American where every single person's going to love her specifically. And
yeah, well, not only Trump, but Biden and Obama both came out and praised her on the same day. Yeah. To get those three guys to agree on anything.
My wife, right, I had to take her to an appointment and she was so upset that all the car dealerships weren't flying their flags at half mast at that
time. Yeah, Trump ordered the flags at half mast. Good for him. I remember I was driving and listening to the radio. Somebody was talking and they were just saying, "We'll never see the likes of her again. And one thing we liked is she didn't get political." I just immediately went, "Oh no, I'll bet you anything they're talking about Dolly Parton."
One really sweet thing I will say is out of Tennessee, number one, the governor is trying to
switch. They're going to change the name of the airport.
Yeah, to Dolly Parton International Airport. I can support that immediately. The other thing is the very next day after her passing away, all radio stations in Tennessee interrupted for a governor announcement where at 9:25, get it, 9 to 5, he did a whole hour broadcast tributing to Dolly Parton, commercial free, and playing nothing but Dolly Parton music all over the state of Tennessee. Every single station had to tune in for it. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And again, just an amazing woman. So with all that in mind, I thought we would end the evening with a song of hers.
How could we not do that?
Exactly. So without any further ado, this is going to be the original version.
Oh, now before you say that,
oh, sorry.
Dana and I rewatched The Bodyguard just recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always felt, like most people, that Whitney Houston wrote that song, "I Will Always Love You." Apparently, Dolly Parton wrote it. And I heard that Elvis wanted to make a cover for it, but his conditions were that he had to get half of the writing credit. And Dolly Parton was very business savvy, and she really wanted Elvis to do it, but she said no, and good for her.
Absolutely agreed. So without any further ado, here's the original, "I Will Always Love You," from Dolly Parton, ending the Bob Siegel Show tonight.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you each step of the way. And I will always love you. I will always love you. Memories, that's all I am taking with me. Goodbye, please don't cry. We both know that I'm not what you need. Treat you kind, And I hope that you have all that you ever dreamed of. And I wish you joy and happiness. But above all of this, I wish you love, and I will always love you. I will always love you. I will always love you.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.